Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Presence of God, the place where God is, the place where God is. And if God isn't here, we'll be somewhere else. But we want to be where God is. If God wasn't here, you wouldn't see me here. Hallelujah. Thank you. And today, we're going to go straight into our word today. We've been in our series, Discover Summer, where we've been spending week after week learning how to build in our identity in Christ. Anybody been blessed so far by this message, by this message series? If you missed any of the teachings, of course, you know you can find it on our podcast. And we're going to start from John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Anybody excited about the word? We want to thank everybody that's here. Those of you that are here for the very first time, once again, welcome. We're going to look at John chapter 8, verse 32. We kind of left off there last week. Thank you. I'm excited about this word that I want to share with you today. John 8, verse 32. If you have it, say amen. Also, look at, let's just stay there for first. John chapter 8, verse 32. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth. And you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free. And today I'm going to teach out the word that the Lord gave me today. We're going to stay right there. We're going to build off of that. And I want to talk to you today about growing in the power of hope. Growing in the power of hope. Growing in hope. Growing in the power of hope. Last week I made a statement. We ended up actually talking about hope. And I made a statement that I don't want you to slip past that word or ignore it or just kind of like overlook it. But I want to remind you of that, what I said. And it was actually a quote from Bill Johnson that stated something like this. Any area in your life where you feel hopeless is under the influence of a lie. Any area in your life where you feel hopelessness, you feel like giving up, you feel like quitting, you feel like throwing in the towel, you feel like it ain't going to work, this stuff ain't working out for me, this ain't happening for me, I'm too late, I'm too far gone, whatever the case may be, any area in your life where you feel hopelessness, it's under the influence of a lie. And so you can always tell whether you're believing a lie or believing truth by the amount of hope you have. I'm going to say that again. You can always tell whether you're believing truth. Somebody say truth. Or you're believing a lie by the amount of hope you feel towards the situation. It's very important that you understand that. Why is that? Because the Bible says when you know truth, truth makes you free, right? Or it releases you from limitations. It sets you free from boundaries or restrictions. You know, somebody who is a prisoner, who is bound, doesn't have much hope. Right? When you're in an imprisoned state, if you are arrested and locked up for life, what hope do you have to get out of there, right? Very slim to nothing. So a person who is bound suffers with hopelessness. But when a person has been made free or set free, now possibilities are unleashed, right? You can now look at life differently because now you're not looking at restrictions or limitations, but you're seeing freedom. Somebody say freedom. So when you know truth, truth makes you free. It releases you from limitations. And you know you're free when you know that there are no more bounds on your life, where you don't set up certain measures and say, this is how far I can go in life, because I understand that what the Bible says, Jesus said, if you can believe, then all things are what? Possible. So when I carry hope, I live with a possibility mindset. I live with a mindset where there are no limits on my life. And one of the things you've got to understand is that, you know, the devil isn't your greatest enemy. Your flesh is not even your greatest enemy, but a lie is your greatest enemy. A lie is your greatest enemy, because the first thing truth does to make you free is to make you free from a lie that you believe in. Because if I'm going to get set free, the truth has to first get me free from a lie I'm believing that's making me bound. Come on. So what happens is, the problem is, when we grow up, we've been taught things that in our own psychology we think is true, and it can be a lie. And one of the hardest things is when you come across a truth, or when you come across a lie that you thought was true, and then you realize that it was a lie, then you feel betrayed, because all my life I believed this, but now I'm finding out it's not that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you get to these points in life when truth begins to wage war against the lies I've been believing, and then I have to make a decision. Am I going to choose to believe the lie, or am I going to choose to believe the truth? Come on. And how many of you know the Bible calls the devil a liar? So when you agree with a lie, you empower the liar, see? When I believe truth, I empower the spirit of truth in my life. So I gotta love truth. It's not just, I can't just molest the truth or play around with the truth. I gotta actually love the truth. And the way Jesus said is, I gotta know the truth. I gotta know it. There's two ways that you know something. I don't know if you guys can see from up here today, but there's two ways that you know something. You know something when you first believe it. Did I spell that right? That's right, right?
Yeah.
When you believe it, I'm missing something somewhere. I know I am. You guys get what I'm saying? You know something when you know it by two things. You know it when you believe it, and you know it when you experience it. That's when you know something. You see, you just don't know something intellectually. You gotta first believe it. I remember when I was in school, I remember there was a point when I didn't believe I was gonna pass 10th grade math. I failed about 2 years. And it wasn't because I wasn't smart, it was just that I just felt like, what's the point of this, doing this stuff? So I didn't believe that it was necessary. So because I didn't believe it was necessary, I never understood it. And you know, it's important that it's through faith you understand things. And if a person doesn't attach faith to something they're trying to understand, they won't understand it. You have to believe in something before you can understand it. You ever had somebody talk to you and you didn't believe anything they said? But any time they told you, didn't believe it. You didn't even care to understand what they were telling you. So the first step to understanding something or knowing something is believing it. But then you can't stop there. After you believe truth, you got to experience truth. And you can't have one without the other. Sometimes you can experience truth, but because you don't believe truth, you can act like you didn't experience it. The Bible talks about how the Pharisees and the Jews, how Jesus Christ, truth incarnate, walked the earth, performed miracles, did the works of the Father, raised the dead, did all this stuff, and they still chose not to believe. Winston Churchill, I think, noted or stated something like, people stumble over the truth, but then they get up and dust themselves off as if nothing happened. In other words, people, you can experience truth, but if you don't believe that what you experienced was truth, you can just walk past it and still act like nothing happened. So knowing something requires you first to believe. Say believe.
Believe.
And to experience. And there are many people in church who believe but don't experience.
Yeah.
So some of you need to move into an experience with truth. It's not enough to just simply say, well, I believe God can heal. Well, when is the time for you to experience the healing?
Yeah.
Right? I know God can answer my prayers, but it's time for you to move into the state of experience. Jesus didn't just say you will believe truth. He said you will know it. Because I believe we're in a state where God wants us to move from believing to knowing.
Yes.
When you believe and experience, you know something.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on. So God wants the church to move into a state of knowing truth. Not just hoping in the truth, believing in the truth, but knowing it. But the main thing I want to key in on today is what I said is this word called hope. Hope. Somebody say hope. The Bible says that hope, along with two other virtues, are the most important elements in the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it states that what? Now, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? But we cannot undermine hope or faith. Because hope actually is the building block of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what? Now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. So if I don't have hope, I don't have faith. And I'm telling you, what I've noticed is that for many people in their lives, when their lives don't move forward or their lives don't seem to be progressing, it's because they're at a deficit in hope. And as the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, we are called to be stewards and dispensers of hope. People around us every day are believing lies, and they're feeling hopeless in situations. They feel like their marriage can't turn around. They feel like their finances can't turn around, right? They feel like their family life, the things in their home won't change. But how many people know that if we can believe, Jesus said, if I believe, then all things are what? Possible. So guess what? My hope, or me believing or expecting God to do something in my life, is very important. Because if I don't hope or believe or have the inkling of a possibility that God can do it for me, then there's a slight or a great chance and that won't happen for us. Let me show you another verse in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, look at verse 12. Proverbs 13, 12. The Bible says in the NASB, you're going to read verse 12 and 13. Well, let's start from verse 13. Verse 12. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, or when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, if you've listened to me teach for some time, you recognize that I say something all the time that's very important, that God is a heart God. God is a heart God. He's a knower of the heart. And anything God does for us, anything God does to us, anything God does through us, or anything God does for us is all based on our heart. The Bible reveals to us many different elements about the heart. That faith works from the heart, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Faith works from the heart. Grace works from the heart. Love works from our heart. Salvation experience is experienced through the heart, right? God speaks to us where? Where does God speak to us? In our heart. Do you know that? God speaks to us in our heart. Righteousness works from the heart, according to Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Amen? With the heart, man believes. Not the mind, but the heart. Right? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all that was, that's going on in our lives right now is directly reflected to the quality of our heart. Now, if the Bible says hope deferred, now I didn't define hope. So what is hope? Just so that we can understand. Hope is a confident expectation that something good is going to happen for you. That's all hope is. Hope is an expectation or a confidence, a confident feeling or an expectation in your heart that something good is about to happen. Not just for you. When you can have hope, you can have hope that something good is going to happen for my family. Something good is going to happen in my finances. Something good is about to happen for my city. Something good is going to happen for my business. Do you see that? Hope is an expectation that something good is going to happen. The opposite is you believe something bad is going to happen. When you believe something bad is going to happen, that becomes hopelessness. But the devil is bad. He wants you to believe something bad is going to happen. God, who is good, wants you to believe something good is going to happen. Come on. Right? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8. For we know that all things work together for what? Good. He didn't say that good things work together for good. He said all things. So that includes bad things.
Yes.
Come on. Bad things work together for good, and good things happen for the good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. And so if you are a believer in Christ, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So if I don't learn to hope or have a confident expectation of glory in my story, then I won't experience that glory. Hope is the prerequisite to experiencing the glory of God in my life.
Yes, yes.
So I gotta have hope. I gotta have an expectation that God is gonna do something good. And as believers in Christ, we should be people who live every day filled with hope.
Yes.
Come on. If I know that God is good and all things work together for my good, then I should not be feeling hopeless. I should be feeling hopeful.
Yes.
But the Bible says when you don't choose to live from this hope, hope becomes deferred and it makes your heart sick. Now, if everything, like I said, salvation, grace, faith, healing, miracles, all flow from my heart, if my heart is sick because I choose not to live in a place of hope, then guess what happens? Because my heart is sick, the condition of my faith is greatly impacted. Come on. Many people don't know why their faith doesn't work, because their hope is deferred in areas. But God wants to heal your heart today. God wants your heart to be healed. He wants your heart to be whole. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And what does good news do? It heals the brokenhearted. Yeah. So, any area of my life where I'm wrestling with disappointment or I'm struggling with the fact that, you know what, it's hard for me to believe. When your heart is sick, it's hard for you to believe. You've become very slow to believe that God can answer your prayers, but because your heart is still sick, it's like God didn't do anything for you. It's very dangerous when your hope is deferred. But let me tell you why hope becomes deferred in people's lives. Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled, or the answer to your hope, is a tree of life. The tree of life, as we know, is eternal, represents eternal life. Right? In the Garden of Eden, Adam was supposed to eat from the tree of life and live forever. But I'm not going to go to verse 13. But the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandments will be rewarded. So let me help you understand why some people's hope becomes deferred. Your hope will always be deferred, or your hope won't seem to work for you, and you will leave hope behind when you put your hope in the wrong things. Look at Psalm 33, verse 17. Psalm 33, verse 17. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 33, verse 17. It reads like this. The NIV version says, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Now, what is David saying? The horse in David's day represents what we can call technology. Because the horse was a tech, with the way that they used a horse, it would be equivalent to technology today. They had the horse and the chariots, and it was their vehicles. It was like an airplane or a car. It was how they moved. It was how they fought in battles. It was how they fought in wars. Men had an advantage when they rode a horse so skillfully. When you went to war and you rode through with that horse, you had an advantage over the person standing up trying to fight you, right? So the horse was representative of technology. And what David said was, some people put their hope in the horse. Or we put our hope in things that we can control. Oftentimes we try to put our hope in things that we can try to handle, that we can try to maneuver with our own strength. But he said it's not something that you put, nor it doesn't deliver anyone. That although I use the horse skillfully, I can't put my hope in the skill, come on, or my talents, or my accomplishments. I can't put my hope in the things that I can do, but I need to put my hope in the Lord.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how great I can be with that horse, my hope is in the Lord, not the horse. But when people put their hope in things and not God, then that's where disappointment comes. Because there is no reliable source of hope anywhere else but God and His Word. Look at what Psalm 119 says. I'm almost finished. Psalm 119. Look at verse 81. Psalm 119, verse 81. And you can read the whole thing after today, but I just want to read the first part of that. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope where? In your word. Remember last week we talked about how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, the liar, and I talked about how he tried to give Jesus a lie so that if he believed that lie, he was going to empower him to have influence over his life. And when Jesus was able to overcome the devil's temptation, what did he say? How did he overcome the attacks of the enemy? It is what?
Written.
Jesus, the Son of God, when he was on the earth, he didn't put his hope on his anointing. He didn't put his hope in his abilities. You see, some of us, we feel like because I'm anointed, because I got some power, because I can pray really well, because I spent a lot of time praying that I got some power. But you got to recognize the only source place that you put your hope in is what the Word says. What the Word says about me, what the Word says about my situation, what is written over my life. That's where my hope is. David said, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your Word. Let me show you another place where it talks about where we put our hope in our word. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Mary was impregnated. You don't have to turn for it. Mary was impregnated by the Spirit of God. Or the angel brought the word to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. But Mary then said, you know what? If you said that this is possible, I know that it is, because no word from God will be void of power. That's what she said. Or with God, nothing is impossible. You see, if you don't learn to put your hope in the Word, you're going to seek to look at your own strength. You're going to look for things that you can try to control, but you're going to be disappointed. And I'm going to help you get out of disappointment right now. So we grow in hope through the word of God. Jesus believed the word, or he believed in the word so much that everything he said was based upon what was written. Because what's not possible in the world is possible through the word. What's not possible for you in your own strength is possible through you if you can believe the word of God. Why? Jesus said, I believe and I put my hope in the word. So you know what? Devil, no matter what you try to say about me or do to me, I'm going to trust the word. You know, it's because Jesus put his hope in the word. He went to the cross and he stayed on the cross. He didn't just go on it and then just say, you know what, all right, this is about 2 hours. I get back down. You know the point. No, Jesus knew. The Father said, if you die for their sake, I'll raise you back up in 3 days. So he had to believe and hope because he couldn't depend on his anointing. He couldn't depend on him being the fact that I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. All he could do was believe that the word of God, what the word said. The word said, I'm going to get back up in 3 days. I believe the word. You hear this? He wasn't disappointed when he died. He died and he was excited because he knew in 3 days I'm getting back up because the word said it. It's written. And if it's written, there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop what's written over my life. Come on, you got to understand that it's the word that you got to put your hope in. Not in your horse, not in your chariot, not in your strength. The word of God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm putting my hope in the word. Let me show you 3 more verses. Turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 17. Whew, I feel the glory. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, look at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to what? Prosper. Somebody say prosper. To prosper you and not to harm you. So if my situations look like God is harming me, I know that it's a lie. If what I'm going through feels bad, I know it's a lie because according to the word declares God has plans to prosper me. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Yes.
Come on. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. So you don't have a future if you don't have hope. Without hope, there's no future. When you don't have hope, you give up. When you don't have hope, you throw in the towel. But when you know the plans that God has for your life to prosper you, I put my hope in his word. And guess what happens? I begin to step into my future. Because what God is showing me or what God is doing for me is getting ready to prosper me. Hallelujah. Anybody know that God has plans to prosper them today? Last verse, Isaiah 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55. The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come from heaven and water the earth and making it flourish, verse 11, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So, I mean, the word of God cannot fail if I put my hope in the word. And you got to learn to keep your hope in the word. Not just keep it in the word on Sundays. And then when you go through life from Monday through Saturday, you forget about the word and get all flustered and disappointed. The hope is when I put my trust in what the word has written over my life. I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what it seems like. The word said this. My hope is in the word. And the word of God cannot return to him void, but it must accomplish everything that it set out to do. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord says to you today, God has plans to prosper me. He has plans to prosper you, your family, not to harm you. He has plans to give you this hope and to give you a future. And if your hope has been deferred in any way in your life, I want you to recognize that more than likely, my hope was in the wrong place. Romans chapter 5 tells us that hope does not make you ashamed. The hope that comes from God does not make you ashamed. So if I put my hope in the right place, the word of God, I will not be let down. I will not be disappointed. I will not be ashamed. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. God wants to heal your heart today, and he wants you to reset. Some of you need to reset the calibration of your heart and put it right back to the word of God. I'm not talking about your religion. I'm not talking about your tradition. I'm talking about what the word was, what's written about your situation. What does the word say about health? What does the word say about my health? You know what the word says about it, and you put your hope there. Not what the doctors say, not what your generational curse says, not what was passed down from your great-grandmother to your grandmother, and you believe that I got to get this because it was running my family. No. What does the word say about me and my health? That with his stripes I am healed. So that means I don't got to embrace a sickness because the word says I'm healed. Come on. What does the word say about my wealth, my health, my finances? The Bible says that it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. Do you believe that? God wants me to prosper. He says, I delight in the prosperity of my servants. Can you put your hope in that word? Put your hope in that word. Come on, let's all stand. Put your hope in that word. Hallelujah. You see, your life turns around when you put your hope in the word. I know hope is just the beginning of faith, but if you don't have hope for situations around you, then there won't be no need for faith. Your faith won't bring it out if your hope is dead. So God wants your hope to come alive today, amen? Come on, let's lift up your hands and say, Lord, fill me up with your hope. You are the God of hope. You don't disappoint. You don't let us down. But your hope empowers me. So, Father, right now, I thank you that you are breaking me free from the limitations, from the cycles and patterns of defeat in my life. Every area in my life where it seemed hopeless, where it seemed like things won't change, I repent. And I give you my hope. Your word will not let me down. And because I'm in Christ, I believe that the word is working mightily in me. So thank you today for your word. Hallelujah. Somebody just thank him. Just bless his name. We thank you today, God. We thank you today, God.